Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and we are exploring the cat goddess Bast from ancient Egypt. And we are going to take a look at her, ways of working with her, and ways of making Bast cat magic. In the next few moments of quiet, I invite you to call to mind cats that have been part of your life. Calling to mind any experiences that you have had with Bast, the cat goddess. Calling to mind, and I invite you to join me as I call her into our time together. With the sounds of this sistrum, we call to Bast, also known as Bastet, goddess of cats, goddess of sun, goddess of moon, goddess of joy, goddess of abundance, protection, fertility, good times. Bast, we call to you and honor you. Come and be with us. Join us. We celebrate you and make Bast cat magic together. I began my journey with Bast early on in life. As a girl, I became enamored of a movie, a Disney movie, The Three Lives of Thomasina. Now, if you haven't seen this particular movie, there are some clips of it, trailers for free on the internet, and I am sure that some streaming services, probably Disney Plus, has the actual movie, though I haven't researched that. And it is set in Scotland, back in time. And it is a story of a cat that, just as the lore has, cats have multiple lives. Well, this cat had a near-death experience. Some humans would call it that. And I won't go through the whole story of Thomasina the cat, but the part that introduced me to Bast was from this movie, where the cat, close to death, and then going to cat heaven, is depicted. The swirling light, the cat lifting out of its incarnation and going up into a magical realm lined with statues of cats, a grand stairway with a golden light at the top. and hundreds of cats, all in this cat heaven scene. And as Thomasina goes up, Thomasina sees the cat goddess, a grand cat with glowing eyes, and the name Bast is said right in the movie, and the glowing eyes and the encounter with the cat divinity was present. Well, Thomasina met her maker and then either came back to life through a near-death experience or perhaps started an additional life in the same body. As I have looked at that image in my memory from the past and seen some clips of this on YouTube, I have seen it as a really powerful depiction of connecting with the divine and joining in a spiritual transformation experience. Indeed, throughout this lifetime, I've had a variety of cat companions that have been part of my household, and many of them have lived to be quite elderly. Some have died early in life, some in middle age, and some old age. And in many cases, I have been present as my cat companion has crossed over. What has helped me is actually using that iconic scene from this movie of my youth. And as I've encountered others who have cats that have been dying or that have lost the cat to death, I have shared memories of this and sometimes have actually shared the video as a way of sending support and as a way of bringing Bast into the experience of honoring the life of a feline and sending support to its spirit as it goes into the other world. So I first came to learn about Bast through a movie, but as I grew up, I had cats as part of the household, my family of origin, and then as I lived independently, cats were also part of my household. I've always felt a strong affinity for cats and have liked their different characters and ways of being, their independence, as well as their enjoyment of pleasure. So cats have been very special to me personally. And as I have journeyed through this life, I have had strong encounters, not only with cats in my household, but with the cat spirit. The cat spirit being the spiritual dimension of a cat. And one of those forms of the sacred cat or cat spirit is the cat goddess. As I began doing priestess work as part of a regular group, this is back in the 1970s, after I had moved to Madison, Wisconsin, I came to bond deeply with Bast the cat goddess. And I'd like to share with you some of my ways of working with the goddess, as well as my ways of caring for cats and having relationships with cats in my household, as well as cats of many types that are in the world today. The very first that I was regularly part of year-round was a ceremonial magical lodge, and the main form of divinity that we were aligned with was Bast, also known as Bastet. We had an image of her on our main altar. We did prayers to her, aligned with her. And so I began my journey as a priestess of Bast as a result of my work with this group known as Spectrum. It was while I was working with this group that I had a very deep connection with Bast that I consider reincarnational. A writer friend of mine, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who is now in the other world, wrote many, many books. Well, one of her early works was Tales of Reincarnation, and I was one of the people she interviewed for that book. And one of the stories, one of the tales of reincarnation in the book that I contributed was my encounter with Bast through a dream and through artifacts. One night, as I was sleeping, Bast came to me and gave me a message that I needed to go to one of my favorite museums, and there I would find objects that were connected with Bast worship in ancient Egypt, and that it was important for me to make contact with those objects. I have a deep mystical side, but I'm also grounded in the scientists, and my sciences and scientific side are such that if I give something that directive, of course I'm going to try to check it out and see if this is symbolic or if there's some actual real-time reality to it. And indeed, I did end up going to the museum that I was guided to in the dream. And although I had not made a prior appointment, literally doors opened for me and I connected with the curator of the Egyptian collections. And there were literally thousands of objects not on public display in the non-public part of this museum. And the museum storage area, one of them was in the basement of this very large museum. And the person who was guiding me there was a very tall African-American man. He actually looked like an Egyptian priest and even had around his neck a necklace with a big gold ankh on it. So it was right out of a movie, though it was actuality for me. And he let me go through drawers upon drawers of the artifacts. It was almost as if he had some inkling that I had been divinely sent to this place. Well, I went through drawer after drawer, but I hadn't seen the objects that I'd seen in my dream. And of course, the last drawer that I opened is where they were. Upon touching the objects, which included some small amulet images of Bast and some other items, it was like a electrical current went through me. I made some kind of contact. Now, had I used these objects in another incarnation? Possibly. regardless of how I came to be guided there, I made a deep connection with BOST. And since that time, BOST has been an important part of my priestess life. I gave thanks to him. I gave thanks to BOST. And for the next several days and nights, I was engaged in processing the experience of actually having this encounter with the ancient Egyptian religion dimensions of BOST as part of this lifetime experience. As I continued my journey in my priestess life and founded Circle in 1974, BOST continued to be an important part of my life. And indeed, in the early years of Circle, cats were part of the Circle Sanctuary headquarters and continued to be up until about 10 years ago when the last of our temple cats crossed over. And I give thanks to BOST for the experiences that I've had directly. And I give thanks to BOST for guiding me in ways of working with her, with cat spirit energy, and with the properties associated with BOST and cats. I also, in giving some of this background, want to do a shout out to another author that I came to know back in the 1980s, Whitley Strieber. He and his family came to visit Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve in connection with one of his books, Cat Magic. And I give thanks to him for mentioning Circle Sanctuary and our nature spirituality work in his credits in the book. And during the time that he visited us, we had a chance to connect about this book that he had already written and had been published before he actually had met us. But in the paperback edition, he included our contact info, and we had been in touch with many people who have had a real inkling and desire and resonance with cat magic. So what are some ways to do BOST cat magic? Well, let's begin with getting some type of symbol of BOST and creating a space on your home altar for that symbol. Or even better yet, create a BOST altar or shrine. I've created one in my home, and for the video portion of this, which I hope to have up at the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel, I have some of the images from my home BOST altar. I have the biggest image is a reproduction of image with the body of the form of a female human goddess and the head of a cat. And she carries in her hands a sistrum, one of her most common ritual implements associated with her and her worship. I also have on my altar at home an actual reproduction, same size, of a BOST image in black cat form. And I got this image at a museum shop on that same trip when I actually visited a museum and connected with BOST images in the non-public part. Another image that I have has a cat in a gold form, and Bob sometimes had a golden cat image form, especially when in the form of an amulet that is worn about the neck or used in some other form of sacred dress. Some of the images that I have are fairly small. One of my favorites that I got from the British Museum shows a mother cat laying down with kittens nursing, and one actually playfully touching the face of the mother cat. Another image that I got years ago from a museum gift shop, and those can be wonderful places to get boxed images, is a small reproduction of a mummified cat. It is something that was done in ancient Egypt. And when people's cats died, many people, if they had the funds for it, would actually have their cats mummified. And one tradition was to take the mummified cat to Bubastis, which was the center of Bast worship in Lower Egypt in the ancient times. In addition, what else do you put on your Bast altar or shrine? An image of Bast, and it is good to have some kind of candle or way to leave a fire offering, a place to put incense, and a little bowl where you can put other forms of offerings. And of course, catnip is my go-to offering for my Bast shrine at home, as well as Bast rituals that I've been doing. And if you can, get a sistrum. You can make one from a forked twig, a cross piece of a wire. Take some bottle caps, smash them, put a hole in the center, and voila, you have a sistrum. The one that I use most of the time actually is this basic folk sistrum method of crafting, and this came from Africa many, many years ago. I've had to replace the cross wire, but I like it because it's portable and easy to play. There are some sistrum instruments that are much more elaborate. Some actually have a Bast image on the handle, and then several rows of bars and clanging. In a way, a sistrum is a kind of tambourine. And sistrum instruments can take a variety of forms. They can be large. They can just have the bars with them. Some music stores actually have smaller versions of them, and I have a variety of different sistrum instruments that I use in connection with Bast ceremonies. So create an altar or a shrine, tend it, call to Bast to be present, and do meditations there. That be your focal point for your Bast rituals in your home. Now, having a Bast altar not only is a place where you can deepen your own connections with this form of the divine, but if you have cats in your household, this can be a place where you can do rituals specifically on their behalf. And this can be a place of healing for yourself and other household members. In addition, having a Ba's shrine or altar in your home can be a way of doing home blessing and protection. Whether you have cats in your home or not, Ba's has a long history of serving as a protectress of home environments. In addition to having an altar or shrine, being able to learn a bit about Ba's on an ongoing basis. What are some ways to do Ba's studies? One is to read about her in articles and books, watch videos, listen to podcasts. There is a wide range of material available. It's important to take a look at who has created the information firsthand, personal experience. Is it a more scholarly work? And if so, what are the references, the sources of information? And I like to have a mixture of materials as part of teaching about Ba's, encouraging people who want to learn more to go into some translations of the ancient texts, the pyramid texts, the coffin texts that go back to ancient Egypt, read some summaries of history, but also supplement the historical with information from people that are actual practitioners today. Many people who are practitioners today would call themselves pagan, but not all. Some will not give a name to the religious practice, have their own self-styled form of working with Ba's. And one of the wonderful things about doing Ba's cat magic, you can come from different cultures and different spiritual backgrounds and different languages, countries. There's a great diversity of people that really appreciate cats and cat divinities. So being able to make your own personal connection is important. Having some understanding of the roots of Ba's is also important. And I do think the magic of learning is an important way of strengthening your connection with Ba's, as well as giving you good foundation for working with her. Now, what does Ba's mean? Now, some say that the name Ba's or Ba'stet comes from her connection with perfumes, the lady of the ointment jars. Some say, and many sources say, that Ba's honoring actually began early on in Egypt, and she originally took the form of a lion-headed divinity, but over time, the Egyptian religion, as it developed and changed, the lion-headed one became Sekhmet, and Ba's became the more gentle, though she has a fierce side too, aspect of the cat goddess. Sekhmet, some say, is like the noonday sun in the desert, and Ba's as the rising sun of dawn. Many people see Sekhmet and Ba's as two different facets of the same feline goddess. Others say that they are distinctly different. For myself, I see them connected, but I work with them differently. and have a separate area where I work with SecMet. Some people work with Bastet as part of a daily spiritual practice. And I do think having frequent contact with the cat goddess can help your understanding of her and strengthen your connection and can guide you in crafting rituals and meditations for your own use, your household use, and if you're part of a community online and or in person, that can be a wonderful way of strengthening those connections. I'd like to share with you some ways that I have done Ba's cat magic for cats in my household. Upon bringing a cat into the household, I have honored Ba's and asked her guidance as the cat has come to be. Sometimes cats have shown up at my doorstep years ago and have used Ba's connections to welcome the cat to our homestead. Now, if it's a cat and it appears to be a stray, I do think a responsible thing to do is to call the humane societies, animal shelters, and it's possible that the cat might actually have wandered far from home. So I do think it's important as part of keeping a good rapport with cat energy and Bast, the divinity, to do what you can to reunite cats that might be missing from their homes. But I've also had cats come to me as kittens, and having a celebration and inviting Bas to watch over the kittens as they become part of the household and as they grow up in the household, as for protection, not only for the household as a whole and the kittens and the cats, but for the humans as well. One of my go-to Ba's cat magic rituals I haven't done it for a time since I haven't had cats in the household per se, but as I had multiple cats in my household and I've lived rurally pretty much my adult life, and sometimes when you have cats that are outdoor, indoor cats, I always would encourage the cats to come in at night because we live in a very rural area and there are some predators that can attack house cats. So I would call cats in at night, and sometimes one of the cats might be very adventuresome and defiant and doesn't come in. So I've actually done Ba's cat magic to call a cat friend home. How I've done that is go to the altar, imagine a great golden beacon of light going above the cat and having it branch out like a searchlight, calling the cat to the household, holding the image of Ba's doing that search and call back process, imagining the cat that is needed to come home, and this worked pretty consistently for me over the years, giving thanks to the cat for coming home and to Ba's for assistance in having the cat coming home. Another technique that I worked with Ba's with has had to do with cat healing. And for those of you who have had cats for many years. And pretty much when I've had cats come into my life, I've had them be with me for the duration of their lives. And when you get up into years with cats, and sometimes even younger ones can develop illnesses or other conditions, in addition to getting a vet as part of the mix, it can be a wonderful thing to call on the healing powers of us, the cat goddess, to aid with healing. I have taken images of Bast and with a sick cat in a cat bed and actually put an image of Bast with the cat, if the cat, I get the sense that the cat is open to this. And then have called on Bast as I've given the cat medicine if the vet wants that as part of the treatment. And I have found that doing some additional work at a Bast altar, as well as calling on Bast during healing work, has been a helpful thing. Of course, each of us that are beings in an incarnation will eventually die. And so another piece to share with you about Bast cat magic has to do with life of cats. In some cases, cats have been up in years and crossing over. And what I have had occasion to do is to sit with the dying cat, provide comfort, imagine Bast being present, and to guide the process. At times, some find that they need, due to the health condition of a cat at end-of-life situation, and euthanasia is something that is beyond the scope of now to do that kind of process, but sometimes it is recommended to save the suffering of a being at the end of life, not just cats, but others. And I have also had one of the cats that was part of my life was in a place where the vet seemed to think that was the way to go, and I was able to get a home visit and hold the cat as the vet administered the medication that put the cat to sleep and helped it cross over. I've been very thankful that I've also had the opportunity to be with end-of-life processes with beloved cats that have passed naturally on their own without the need of a vet assisting. That very image, that scenario I had as a young girl seeing the Thomasina movie, I have used to help not only with the crossing over, doing crossing over rites for the cat as they're passing into the next realm for them. But I have found it helpful for me personally and for others to do that form of visualization. I have done cat funerals, not only for cats that have been part of my household, my family, but because I run a green cemetery, Circle Cemetery, which is at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, I also have had occasions to do cat funerals there. Indeed, 10 years ago, shortly after we expanded Circle Cemetery to do full body human burials, I had occasion to do a green burial for the last of our temple cats, Artemis. And some interest about our cemetery brought a reporter to us to do a report on a green cemetery, and it so happened it coincided with Samhain of 2011, and I put a link to that. At, it's in the Chicago Tribune from back then. And it not only talks about the Green Cemetery, but it was first time I'd ever done a cat funeral that actually got covered in the media. I decided to do that. I got input from others in our community because the funeral was held as part of our Samhain gathering. And not everybody at Samhain really wants to be interfacing with the press. But we, those of us who chose to be part of the ceremony, did so not only to help with an understanding about green burial, natural burial without embalming, and green cemeteries, but the importance of end-of-life passages, not only for humans, but creatures in our lives. So I'm thankful that we have that record and that way of teaching. So what do you do with a cat funeral? Well, for myself, after a cat has passed, I spend a few moments with the body, and typically my husband and I would sit vigil. We put the body of the cat. We have a special basket that we've used as a kind of coffin and have arrange the body of the cat in the coffin area and spent time resting, reflecting, mourning, crying, calling on Bas to us in our process as well as to guide the cat spirit to the other world, and then have taken the casket and cat body and put it in a freezer or some other place where the body is refrigerated, unless we were going to do the burial the same day. But typically, we would do that at a separate time. And then, as with human burials that I've done, full body burials, there is a process, a procession of blessing the gravesite, digging and consecrating it, placing the body in the grave, saying words of remembrance and respect, putting in grave offerings, often flowers and catnip, and then doing the burial and marking it in some way. One way that we've worked with marking cat grave sites is an ancient method called the Cairn method, where piles of stone are placed over the grave area. In fact, we have an area at Circle Cemetery that's part of Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve known as Summerland Cairns, and it's close to our stone circle, and that's where all the temple cats, the cats that have lived at Circle Sanctuary over the years, who've lived good, wonderful lives and then have crossed over, that's where their final resting place is. And so it's covered with a stone area. So the stones not only mark where the body is, but it also serves the purpose of keeping the grave from being disturbed by other creatures. Burial in the funeral, placing some offerings on the grave, flowers, and if the weather conditions are such, fresh catnip, if that's available, or some dried catnip. So doing a cat funeral is a way of honoring the cats in your life and a way of working with Bas cat magic. So I'd like to share some other ways of doing Bas cat magic. And this is for humans. Many people associate the cat goddess as a goddess to do sacred cat work with. Well, part of that sacred cat work can be working with her powers and helping humans with their life processes. In addition to blessing the home and having a Bast altar or a Bast image as a home blessing icon, Bast is a goddess of pleasure and good times. And I think especially it's important to be able to connect with her in her full of joy and celebration dimensions. Now, Herodotus, an ancient Greek historian, wrote almost 2,500 years ago about the wild parties in celebrating Bast at Bubastis. And there was annual celebration as the Nile flooded and land became fertile. People would go and celebrate in Bubastis, and they go down the Nile in these huge barges. Well, especially for women, they were able to be pretty restrained in a lot of ways, and actually had some what you might call Sheila-na-gig moments as part of their celebrations. And there was a lot of partying going on the barges and in the city, and part Mardi Gras, part spring break, depending on where you live and how you define those events. So there's a joyous revelry dimension connected with Bast, and I'm not encouraging overindulgence, but in the spirit of celebrating life, Bast can be your friend and your guide for that. And yes, I think it can be quite a lot of fun if you're going to connect with her celebratory dimensions to find a way to get a sistrum or at least a tambourine and make some wonderful noise and celebratory sounds. What are some other ways of doing Bast cat magic? Well, she is a goddess of the sun. And as the sun rises in the morning, as you greet the sun and greet the day, greet Bast, ask her to bless your day. Bast also got associated with the moon. How did that happen? Well, those of you who know your Egyptian history know that there were influences from different cultures along the way. And with the Greek influence that came in with the Ptolemies, Apollo and Artemis, the twins, Apollo with the sun, Artemis with the moon, got woven into the Egyptian multicultural, international, multilingual, interreligious experience. And Artemis, a Greek moon goddess and goddess of the hunt, got associated with Bast. So some called Bast also a goddess of the moon. And at moonrise, you can call on Bast as well. I like the dual aspect of her being a goddess of sun and goddess of moon, goddess of day, goddess of night. She has a pleasurable side, but she has a fierce side. And it is good to call upon her for Bast cat magic in her fierce side if you feel a need to develop some assertiveness skills. Some other ways of doing Bast cat magic is that of her creative awakening, to chant her name, to envision her to invite her to inspire you in one or more of your creative endeavors. This can be in the arts, creating a song, a poem, a dance, a play, a piece of fiction, nonfiction, writing, or the practicality of problem solving, creativity to help you with life's challenges. And for those who are dealing with what you might call big challenges, such as the coronavirus pandemic, Boss can help get our spirit, can bring us hope and optimism, can lift our spirits and help us with a sense of play. These are some of the ways that I connect with Boss and celebrate Boss. And I invite those of you who have worked with Boss to put in some comments to this video at the Selena Fox YouTube channel. And if you prefer, you can email me, selena@circlesanctuary.org. If you want to share some feedback about this podcast and video. Boss, we call to you. Boss, we honor you. Boss, we celebrate you. Be with us. Be in us. Guide us. Teach us. Protect us and bring us joy. Bright, vast blessings wherever you may be. I have some of the rituals that I have created with Boss in my Goddess Communion Rituals and Meditations Handbook. You can get a copy of that in print via the Circle Sanctuary website. There's ordering information. You can find some information that way. I also invite you to start your own journal or section in your journal if you are doing Boss Cat Magic and writing about how you come to work with her. Do you work with her in a meditative way where you envision her? Do you work with her in a more exuberant way where you call on her and then dance and let that exuberant energy happen? Do you create an image of her, shrine keeping, painting, thing? There's many ways of keeping yourself connected with Boss. So I hope that as you move forward with your life, that you will have a wonderful experience connecting with Boss in all of her forms. And may she watch over you and bring you safety and bliss. So be it. And now in the last part of this video, I'd like to give thanks to the CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, at Circle Sanctuary's internet radio network, and our team. and David and Jeanette Ewing, Circle Sanctuary Ministers from Virginia, Deborah Rose, Circle Sanctuary Minister from Kentucky, and Laura Gonzalez, Circle Sanctuary Minister from Chicago, Illinois, and Casey Polk, Circle Sanctuary Minister from Colorado. I want to thank our team. And for more information, not only about the Nature Spirituality podcast that I do every Wednesday night, but Nature Mystic, which I do on Sunday nights, for more information about these and the podcast done by our other podcasters, you can find our schedule at the Circle Sanctuary website, circlesanctuary.org, CSNP section. And you'll also find us on Facebook, CSN Podcast. Like and follow our page. I have been putting live streams and videos of the podcast I do on Nature Spirituality up at the Selena Fox YouTube channel. So there is a way that you can get some video and audio forms of my podcast there. And we archive our audio podcast at the Circle Sanctuary website in the CSNP section. For more information about Circle Sanctuary, which brings you our internet radio network and these podcasts, find us on the web, circlesanctuary.org. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook, and we have a YouTube channel as well. And to get more information about my work with Circle Sanctuary, as well as other things that I'm doing, you can find me on Facebook, Selena Fox Updates, on the web, selenafox.com, and at the Circle Sanctuary website. And you can find me on Instagram, Selena Fox, and on Twitter, Selena_Fox. Thank you all for tuning in. And this springtime, I'm celebrating 50 years of public pagan ministry, and Bost has been a big part of that most of those 50 years. Thank you all for tuning in, and many blessings.
One spirit in the dark, like a candle wavers. Many spirits joined as one, burn with the power of the blazing sun. There is strength in community, the circle empowering you and me. The circle binds, yet sets us free, and the goddess name so mote it be. One spirit like a candle waver, many spirits. circle binds, yet sets us free. In the goddess' name, so mote it be.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.